This brew is brought by our solutionary partners at Think Ag Group, Dealership Toolkit, Elite FI Partners, Exogloss, and the NextSale app. Let's brew!
Let me call this greater thing out of you. You do have a voice. You do have something to bring to the table, and the world needs it. And we want to make sure that you don't get distracted by anything else. But at the same time, you're not identified by everything that happens on the outside, that when you stand there, you sit there or you lay there next to that spouse, and you can say, I am the truest version of me, and here is the best version of me for you. And that allows you to be empowered to go do what it is that you are, because the person that knows you most knows that you're not faking it, knows that you are being what it is that you portray, at the same time of charging you and trying to say there's something better in there.
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, and that's what she does, right? She keeps you honest. She makes sure that you realize that we don't have kids. So I am the default kid in the house. I'm the one that, you know, runs into shit, breaks shit, needs to be told where to go, when to go, how to eat, what to have. You know, my wife runs everything. We joke in the house that my wife's not only the CFO of the business, but she's probably the CEO of the house. You know, she runs our health and wellness program. She takes care of most of the meals, and not in a way that it's like, good, you know, cook my food, wife.
Right.
She really enjoys it. She has fun with it. You know, I try to help out where I can, but it's a partnership, dude.
Right.
We're people who are in it together. We left our families and moved to Colorado after less than a year of knowing each other. And we put our eggs in each other's basket. We moved away from our support system. We said, if we're going to make this happen, we're going to make it on our own. And we lived there damn near 8 years and built our life and then built it into what it was. 08 came, took away our life, took away everything we thought was important to us. Little did we know it was going to give us the reset we needed and the opportunity to see things more clearly. And that's where everything for me changed with money. You know, when 08 hit, I had multiple houses, multiple cars, vacations, all the big stuff. I wasn't keeping up with the Joneses. I was the Joneses. And the fact of the matter is, that did not fulfill me. It stressed me. It never allowed me to relax and be, you know, in the moment, be who I am. The stress of next month, make the money. Because, you know, when you've got all those things, they got bills, right? And so then it becomes like this minimum you've got to do just to make the ship run. Just to put fuel in the ship. Not even to go have fun on the ship, just to get it to go down the road. And that became exhausting and something that I just didn't want to keep up with. And had I kept up with it, it would have cost me my marriage or my life. And either way, I did not want to see that happen. So I had to make a change. And thankfully, as weird as it sounds, man, thankfully for the recession, I was able to see that clearly, make those changes and come out the other side now, you know, decade later and have things be like they never happened.
And that's a beautiful thing. You know, having a partner like that, a wife, you know, Lou and I are both long-term committed people. Been married for how many years now?
This is going to be 21 years.
21 years for him. I've been married. This will be my 16th year coming up. We've been together for 18, almost 19 years, my wife and I. And, you know, 100% huge mentor of mine, my wife. She has raised me like to be the best young man I could possibly be. Like you said, the first 18, 19 years of my life, parents did a great job. Love my parents for it.
Yep.
But my wife, I've known her since I was 22, 23. And I'm 41, getting turned 42. She has raised me. She helped me become the man. She helped me stay motivated. She helped me get my why, you know, she's a big part of my why, you know, and I just definitely look up to her. She's, you know, like you said, you know, it's a partnership when it comes to her, that type of thing. Like my wife, yeah, she cooks too, but it's not because she's a woman.
Yeah.
She loves to cook. My wife is like a chef. She likes to cook cookies and stuff and make these new types of meals and bring different cultures into our house with all these different types of food. And she does such a good job with that, you know. We have one child, so I'm very similar to you. I have one, so my son's 17, so I am the kid of the house right now.
Sure.
So, you know, once he's gone, I'm going to be that child. I mean, you know, I'm hoping my wife keeps maybe she'll start beating me, you know, directly. But I absolutely love my wife.
I'm probably eating food on my own, so I mean, at least I've gotten to that level, but I'm not far.
you finally got. I don't think I'm there yet. I'm getting there. Though. I'm getting there. So,
man,
that's a great answer. I love that. I think your wife probably knew that answer already. You know, I think my wife would feel that, would love that. I want to show my wife that section of this interview.
So like, yeah, she knows it. She knows it, and she should know it. I try to make it clear to her on a daily basis that I am grateful for her being in my life and doing what she does. And she the same. You know, when we got into this gig and we were going to work together, people were like, oh, my God, you're going to work with your wife. How will you ever do it? And I thought, here's my thing. I'm working with my best friend who I met when I was 12 years old.
Come on.
And I'm working with my wife, who I met when I was 21 years old. What could be better, right? People were like, oh, God, the pitfalls. You're going to hate it. And here we are 7 years later in the car biz. I couldn't be happier. I don't think they could be happier. I think I'm speaking for them. But, yeah, dude, it's been a fun ride. I couldn't do it with anybody else.
Awesome. That's what actually is another part of the, I don't care what they think, right? Because of somebody else's limited understanding of what a spousal relationship should look like, they think that it's not going to work in the work environment.
Right.
I met my wife at work, right? We worked together, managing together. And inside of that, was there friction? Yeah, there's friction in how we take care of the bathroom, right? And what I do inside of that. And whether I cleaned my coffee cup, right? Or if I... it is. There's friction in all of those things. Yeah. But I would much rather have that friction with her than any other person on the planet. I am better because of that. I know Fred is better because of his wife. I know that you're better 100%. Because of your wife, but we are not complete without them.
My wife doesn't like hearing this, but my wife saved my life. When my wife met me, I was 10 to 12 pints a night, 7 nights a week. Alcoholic, gone, driving each direction up to 1 hour in each direction, running stores, working 12, 13 hour days, then drinking for another 6 hours, having 3 hours of whatever that's called. I would never call it sleep. I would call it just having your eyes closed. And that's who I was. And when I met her, we had a really weird experience. I went out for a crazy night and I was on my way home and started to feel really odd. So I put my car over. I ended up fucking passing out in my car. And the only person to call me about 15 minutes after I fell asleep was a message from my then girlfriend, not even officially my girlfriend, saying, I got the weirdest feeling right now. Are you sure you don't need me? And man, I got to tell you, I get goosebumps even retelling that, because it changed my life. It changed my life. So I didn't give up on the drinking right away. I still stayed after that. And then she came to me about a month later after she moved in. She only knew me 4 months, moved into my house. And she said, I came home just wrecked one day after a night out with the boys. And I woke up the next morning, she was gone. I was like, that's weird. You know, no note, no nothing. She came back about 4 hours later. She said, look, I take some time to cool off. That ever happens again, I'm never coming back. And that was it. That was the last day that I was a full fledged. I mean, a drunk, I should say. Look, I have alcoholism in my blood. It's in my veins. I know that about myself. But I manage it now. And you're never, my dad's been sober 30, let's see, I'm 40. My dad's been sober 35 years. He'd tell you, you're never not worried about it. You're never not fighting against it. But I was able to find a way to manage that. You know, and I did that with my wife's help. I realized that I liked the taste of a good beer. I like the taste of a good cocktail. But I need to know how to manage that. And now in my life, I'm able to do that and enjoy it. So, yeah, man, wife's the big reason.
That's awesome. You're so blessed to have her, yes. Man. And I honestly, I'm glad that you did meet her, because then you may not be having this conversation right now. Matter of fact, we know that probably definitely wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't be where you're at right now.
Whether I'd still be alive or not, but she doesn't like hearing that, then let's assume I would be fine. But it would not be this. I would not be happy. I would not be in the best shape of my life. I would not be in the best position of my life, both, you know, financially and business wise, without her.
That's awesome. Praise to her.
Yes.
Wife, amazing person. Right.
Best wives in the world. So something about the wives that are, I mean, we consider us the car, right? We are this engine, right? We're all about the muscle and the power and the way that we look, right? And the wives come in and find a way to upgrade us, to make us look just a little bit better, to just shine just a little bit more, just like our partners over at Exoglow. That make you rethink your appearance. So I know that just like you putting together a display for somebody picking out a suit, lay that out, throw the tie, throw the socks, get that out of there, right? Sometimes I'll lay out an outfit and be like, what do you think of that? And I'll be really pumped up. It's be like, ah.
Well, because of my history, that's not what happens in my house.
I 100% bet.
Yeah, I'm the one that's brought in to be like, so what do you think? And yeah, I go shopping with my wife. Yeah, I sit in women's stores and watch her put on clothes and make suggestions and grab things. again, dude, you know, stereotypes are a mother, right? So growing up as a male in the men's clothing business, a lot of assumptions were made about me, who I was, what I was into, where I went. And the reality was, have at it, dude. You don't know what you don't know. And if you want to get to know somebody, ask them. But stereotypes are a killer, and they're a killer for all of us, both in life and in business. And if we could just move past it at some level, the stereotype, and stop looking at people that way, I think we'd all be benefited. And that goes for the car guy stereotype. So I know we got a question 4 coming up, so what is it?
Got it. So inside of this question, talking about all of the team atmosphere of the husband and the wife and building a business and doing all these things, you take a lot of shots on the chin. And you learn a lot of lessons. So what I want to ask you, as you've grown through this and you've been on top of the mountain, you've come down, you've kept building, what lesson has been the hardest lesson that you've learned in growing your business to where you are today?
Whew, growing the business today. Well, the hardest lesson I learned is non-compete clauses are real. You can't be laid back and cavalier about that shit. They take it seriously.
Yes, they do.
Even though the actual written word was that I could not reach out to their clients, which I have phone records to prove I never did, I thought I was okay. The point was I couldn't even be there. I couldn't be talking to those people. So a hard lesson there. But probably the biggest, when we started CarBiz, I'm not a big reader. I read magazines. I read articles. I don't read books. I just can't. It's, you see all these books behind me? They're just there for that. They're the things I love to do. They're the Grateful Dead. There's some gonzo journalism and some baseball. I don't read them. If I ever did want to read, those are the things I would probably be interested in. So when I looked through that lens, when we started CarBiz, I was reading a lot of Inc. magazine, right? And I was reading about startups. Oh, my gosh, all the funding. Oh, get the business, grow the business, sell the business. Woo! And no. That's who I thought I wanted to be when we started. So I'd be putting pressure internally on myself, on my partners, to be like, hey, where are we here? Why haven't we added? Why haven't we done this? Why aren't we at a growth scale? Why am I not on my yacht yet? What the hell is wrong? You know? And it became this whole like, what the fuck have I done? Like, why did I allow this to happen to myself when I already had given up because of OA? I learned the money rule. So I knew where I stood on trying to be the Joneses. I didn't want to do that anymore. So that's a valuable lesson. But in business, I needed to learn that the growth would happen when we put in the effort. And when we stopped, like I said, stopped selling. Dude, I hired call centers to set up appointments. Dude, I did everything you could. And I self-funded this company out of my own pocket. So when we did that, I thought, man, I'm going to take risks. It's my money. I'll do what I want. It's going to work. And I really didn't ask the business partners. I, again, went back to the Sean money mentality that I made it. I will spend it. I will do what I want. You will listen to me. And that lasted for about 6 months until they both came to me and said, look, this shit is whack. You are out of control. And this has to end. We are not getting anywhere. So then we started with, okay, here's the brand, right? And so on the back of the brand, can't really see, CarBiz done better. We decided to come up with these sweaters and go to the shows and do guerrilla marketing and put ourselves in a position where the logo was everywhere. You guys have seen me on LinkedIn. I get shit all the time. Sean, where's your picture? The picture's not important. The logo, that's what's important. That's what I want people to know and remember. This face is fit for radio, gentlemen, okay? It is not. All right, so we do it this way because we want the brand to be recognized. People will say, oh, I've seen that logo. Do you know Sean? And they're talking to me. Or we're in a room where someone saw us and didn't realize that who we were because we had our backs turned, and they were talking shit about us at a show, you know? And we were sitting there laughing because we didn't have on our sweaters at night. We put on our, you know, our going out gear, and so we looked like everybody else, and guys were talking shit about us. And it's one of those things that you realize early on in this business that people are going to always come for you. We create the space that we exist in. It's called vendor management. The idea, we help dealers understand vendors, okay? We created that space. Well, as we created it, we saw people come into it. We saw people start work. I used to get so stressed. I'm like, oh my God, there's another new company who does what we do. Oh my God, how is this going to happen? How can we keep this all to ourselves? Then I stopped and I sat back and I just thought to myself, wait a second. We did something cooler than create a company. We created a niche business. We created a business people want to copy. Oh, that's cool shit, man. That's really cool. And that became the driving force behind bring on the competition. Bring in people who do what they do because they didn't see that idea anywhere else but right here. And that's important to me because that helps me know that I'm making a difference in our business, and the work that we do makes a difference. So the biggest lesson was don't chase the yacht. Don't chase the private jets. You know, I think a lot of that happens on social media. I think a lot of people see that, read that, and believe that, you know, that's going to make life complete. You know, if all you got to do is wake up, you know, say your P's and Q's, and you can just get on a private jet and a yacht. And that's just not how life works. There's more to it than that. And there's more work than that. And that's really what I'm after, what I'm trying to bring to people is that, you know, it takes billions and billions of dollars to get to the places that these people are. But if you don't get there, it doesn't make you a failure at all. It's your life can be more than you ever thought it could be. I was just talking with a business partner yesterday because we're both going through, we both turned 40 this year. We're 2 weeks apart being the business partner. Nice, Lou. I'm going through a midlife crisis. Not that I need to buy a Mustang. The midlife crisis of what have I done in my life? What is the point of my life? So I went to my therapy session on Tuesday of this week. I sat down with my girl, Jessica. I'm having some serious mortality shit going on right now. My dad just celebrated his 75th. I wake up in the morning wondering what the point is. Like, what is going on? Is something happening? She said, Sean, you're moving through life's phases. This is literally when life's phase, in this phase, you question everything before you and you wonder how you could possibly top it in the next half. And I just, my eyes opened up wide. Holy shit. Jessica, thank you so much. This is what makes our hours worth it. One little nuggets. All I need to pull away from a value of an hour. She opened my eyes. I realized that's what I was dealing with. You know, I was dealing with this idea that because it is just me and my wife and her and I spend, I joke with her, we spend about 95% of each other's breaths together, breathing together. We travel together. We work together. We hike together. We sit together. We do everything together. The only time we're not together is she falls asleep fairly early and I'm a bit of a night owl. So those are the hours of removal. But to my point earlier, that's when I should be on my damn phone, right? When she isn't in the room, that's when I should be on that stupid thing, but I'm on it the whole time she's awake and then not when she's not. So it's very odd. But anyhow, yeah, dude, that's really what it comes down to for me, is working through that and making sure that we all work together, and realize that money is not the motivator and it's not going to grow my business if I put it first.
I love that. And that's a great lesson to learn and to express and to share with these people out there, folks. It's not about that. You know, he started a whole niche and I love it. And it's smart of you. And I have seen other companies out there trying to do what you do, but here's the thing. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of dealers. There's plenty of this, but if you started something, you're the innovator, you're the guy. And that puts you in a spot that's very unique, especially in this business. Cause there's even though there's new things coming out, but there's nothing new that stays permanent. And I think what you have is something permanent. That's something that's needed. You know, I love that you on your profile you talk about you're an automotive accountability firm.
Yeah,
I love that because accountability is to me my number two part of my core values. Right, so I believe accountability is what helps people get to the next level because we all implement stuff, but then we forget to do it or we don't do it because we get a little awkward or we don't find the time. But when someone holds you accountable, like a firm like yours, then at that point you're going to be doing it at a better level. You will be doing that. It's like having our wives. Wives are our accountability firm for us, right? So by having them, it's helped me get to that next level, helped me get to there, you know? And I'm really glad that you're doing what you're doing and you're sharing what you're sharing because this is huge. I mean, it's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to everybody, I think, that's listening in our audience is to see that it's not about the money. Money will come. You know, DJ, he was talking about chase the opportunity. The money will come. It's so true. You know, money is a byproduct of doing the right thing over and over and over. But money is something that if you don't worry about it too much, I promise you, it will happen. But you have to put work in. You only get what you put in. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
You got to put in what you want to get back. If you only put a little bit in, what do you expect to get back? You get a little bit. You can get lucky and get a lot back for a little. But most cases, 99% of the time, you put a little, you get a little. You put a lot.
You got to put in the work. You do. But let me be clear about that. I think there's a balance, right? There's a term, a lot of people use the term grind. I don't care for the term. I would never apply it to my life because I don't feel like anything about what I do is a grind. If it's a grind, honestly, I think of grind, I think of gears, I think of a problem. So I don't want to be grinding. I want to be smooth. I want things to be running efficiently. The only way that we can handle the client load we have is because we are efficient as it gets. Every single month, we've been doing this 7 years. Every single month, we try to find one more fine tuner that we missed along the way that maybe have us pick up 4 minutes, 5 minutes on an account and get to the next level. Guys, You guys talk, everyone talks about video. We've been doing video now for our clients. That's how we deliver our data. We've been delivering to them this way for 5 years. I'm up to 275 videos a month that I shoot for client workload. And these videos vary from Google Analytics to vendor backgrounds to anything you can name and mention, but it's deliverable because they can see it. They can touch it. They can feel it. But if we can figure out a way to get five more videos done, that's a whole nother client. So if we can open up more time and we can open up our windows, but we do business on our schedule. And a lot of people aren't cool with that. You know, we deliver our content 10th, 12th, 14th. People say, oh, can I get on the 9th? No. The 10th on a Sunday. Can I get on the Friday before? No. These are the dates. This is how this company operates, because we want to bring you into the fold, not allow the fold to be moved because of you, because that will affect other things down the line. So efficiency, dude, our first tagline, you like the accountability. Our first gorilla tagline on the back of our shirts was excellence through accountability. Mm. People would stop us and say, what the F does that mean? And I'd simply ask the question, who's telling you you're doing a good job with marketing? And they would always answer the same thing. Well, our vendors, of course. And I would say, does that sound right? That's not right. The guy doing the work, same guy telling you it's great. You ever sat in a vendor meeting where the vendor brings you a mistake? Nope. A huge baseball fan, I already mentioned it. You're Hall of Fame worthy if you do your job right as a hitter 32% of the time. 3-2. Yet every vendor meeting is 100% success rate. No one ever has a fall down. No one ever has a mistake. And to that I say bullshit. To that I say you cannot do that. It is not possible. And it is okay to show it. I remember being in a big group meeting, huge dealer group. Everyone's in the room. I said, here's what happened last month with our product. Here's what's going on. Here's what we see for you guys. And there was red on the screen. There were declines in certain areas. I'll never forget it. GM stands up. He goes, are you trying to tell me your product didn't work perfectly last month? I said, no. How could it? We're trying to change things for you guys. Make moves. Here's our baseline. Yeah, we fell off our baseline. He goes, so you just showed me you made a mistake. Well, yeah. What? I don't understand. Who am I? Am I perfect? Absolutely not. And they were floored. They were floored. They could not believe that we were willing to discuss with them what wasn't right. And that's all we do now. I sit on more vendor calls than you guys could ever stomach or want to stomach. And I don't blame you. That's the job I've chosen. And I do it to not only help the dealer, but you wouldn't imagine how many times I get done with a vendor phone call where the vendor then calls me and says, oh, wait, you saw this? Well, wait, what else? Can you help us with this? I joke to people all the time, dude, I can't run everybody's company for them, so stop asking me. Like, I'm glad to hear y'all want my opinion, but I see shit like the Matrix. If I'm watching your business, all I see is where things can be improved. I don't see that you're great. I assume you're here because you're already great. My question is, what is the interest of making it better? How can we improve? If you don't believe you can improve, you believe you're at the top of the mountain, you're about to fall off.
100%. The biggest room in the world is room for improvement. No doubt about that.
Of the room for improvement. Folks, there's so many things that you can put inside of a box until it explodes, until you sprinkle in a little bit of caffeination or a little bit of energizing mindset. The thing that Sean has is an incredible mindset remixing ability. He remixes the way that our mindsets have been geared inside of this business to try to achieve a certain result. Again, not just from selling somebody, but to helping them buy, not just by getting your goal done, but by finding out theirs and by making sure that business explodes by utilizing all the tools that are available to the dealerships, just like the dealership toolkit. Folks, I want to make sure that you guys all understand the value that you're getting out of somebody that is only concerned about what actually brings a result. He sows it into his marriage, he sows it into his business, and then he also seeks understanding from other people to cut on him to say, what is it that I'm not seeing? I'm held up. What is it that I'm not getting a grip on? And sometimes it just takes somebody opening that window, getting a little bit of light in there, and saying, listen, the answer is usually right there with me. Just have to let it out.
It really is. You know, and he brings up great points. And that's the thing. I love that about Sean's company. You know, when you guys are looking for a company that's going to come in, they shouldn't just fluff you up all the time, make you feel great about what they're doing. They should tell you the truth. They should dig in deep. You know, when he went to his first 20 group, his first and only 20 group meeting, he dug in deep and he told people the real truth. you know, but he still does that and he still does it, but he's perfected his craft. He's made it even better. He's found ways to not just tell the truth, but also have the solution and do these things. And it's turned over for him so great. And I love that you do that. You know, in this business, we, you know, you've had to learn, you had to do these things. You have your why, you know, and I love your why. You had your mentors, you had your mistakes, and then you learned from it, and you grew from it. But there's something in this business that was great. What has been your greatest reward from all the stuff that you've done, from, you know, meeting your wife, having great mentorship with him, you know, her, I mean, and getting your business going. But out of all that stuff, what has been your greatest reward?
My greatest reward is the quality of life that I can provide myself and my family with. And the reward of that is to be able to, because what I do for a living, I love. I wake up every morning and I love it. You know, I call it video hell week. So from the 3rd to the 11th, or from the 3rd to the 9th, basically, I just sit in my office hours a day doing videos by myself, talking to myself. You know, I have a Telestrator screen, like old school John Madden. So I'm drawing and I'm showing things, but I'm educating. And that's what I love. I understand that the majority of dealers do not understand digital marketing. For instance, I could ask, you guys run stores. I could ask you guys right now, what are you pacing for the month? You're going to go, boom, this is what we're pacing for. But if I asked you where your Google Analytics goal conversion on phone calls was this month, you look at me and say, call somebody else. Ask somebody else. And so I grew up with Google Analytics. I was there when car dealers started to use it. So I want to take that knowledge and help people understand their data. Help them understand that there is, we've gone really data heavy because it's the internet and it can be tracked. And oh my gosh, aren't we great? No. Just because it can be tracked doesn't mean it should be tracked, okay? My favorite sport in the world, baseball. Baseball is being killed by analytics. It's killed the game. It's made people look at beyond people and only at numbers. And see, to me, I think there's a blend. So we like to take the numbers and help them educate. So my biggest win in life is the ability to do that. But probably from a business perspective, it wasn't just quality of life. Business perspective, my biggest win is the education. Is helping people understand things, getting compliments and texts like I got last week from a client I've had. He's been with us 6 years, and he just texted to say thanks. He said, I forget I even do digital marketing because I don't deal with it. I don't have to deal with it. All I got to do is give you offers, and the rest of it runs itself. And that's 6 years, guys running stores. You know, he says to me all the time, I'm just a simple farmer in Southern Illinois. I just want to sell cars, what I was born to do. I don't know data. I don't know marketing. I know I need it, but I don't know enough about it. That's where we step in. That's where we love to be. I've turned away people. That's arrogant. That's rude. No, it's not. It's good for business. Okay. Smart. Because I'm not here to work with the asses of the masses. That's not my company's approach. My company is very specific. We vet our partners as much as they vet us. And up to this point, 95% of our business has been repeat or referral business. We don't have a sales organization. We don't have salespeople. You're looking currently at sales and client support. Right here. You've got that number up on the screen. Guys, this is, that literally goes, rings to this, okay? It doesn't go anywhere else. There's not a switchboard. There's not a receptionist. That phone, this answer, that's how I roll. Now, will I answer every time? No, I got shit I'm doing. But if I get your message, I'm going to return it. I want to know, even if it's someone, people utilize this line for their vendors, right? Vendors call me, Sean, I need to pitch your dealer. You need to show your dealers this. Not how we work. We don't take money from vendors. We don't push vendors. We don't care who you work with. And I mean that this time. I do not care who you work with. What I care is you're getting what you pay for. And that's what I want to make sure of. I saw DJ put a comment out there that vendors show the reports they want. Of course, DJ, what else would they do, bro? They're not going to bring you, data can be twisted to tell any story it wants. The difference is if you just look at the data without telling a story, if you do not have a narrative, most vendors who look at data, they have a narrative. They have to. It's their business. Yep. The narrative for us is quality results versus the outgo of cash. That's really all it comes down to. And people all the time, Sean, you don't like me as a vendor. You don't like this. That's got nothing to do with like and nobody. The results are not there. That is what it comes down to. Whether I like or like someone, that's irrelevant. I don't care. This is business. Business has nothing to do with who I like or don't like. Can they produce? There are plenty of dudes, frankly, I do business with that I would not have a drink with. That's just not who I am. But the way they do business, that's how I do business.
Love that. That's huge. Man, you know, you today, this morning, you have dropped so many great things.
So much,
you're man. One of the most straight up people that I've ever met. You just dropped it how it is. You told us the good, the bad. Folks, this is the kind of person you want to partner up with. He's very selective, so you better have your stuff right too, and you better be ready to grow, because one thing that he's going to do, he's going to come in that store. He's going to make sure that you know the truth about what's going on in your store. When it comes to your digital marketing, he's going to crush it for you. When it comes to what kind of vendors you have, he's going to let you know if you have the right vendors in there. So reach out to him. Sean Welsh with, you know, the Car Biz Done Better. I love the name. We all know we need to make it happen. That is what I proclaim. We want to make that happen. Let's make this business better. Let's all do it together. Let's all team up. Let's all reach out to Sean. Let him know how great he is. If you guys are not connected with him on LinkedIn, go in there right now. Go in there and find him. Follow him, because he has a lot of great videos that he's put out. Go back and look at his whole catalog of stuff. He has years and years of it. And he has just great information that is just straight, no nonsense. So, folks, reach out to him. Get with Sean. Mr. I love it, man. I think on a private conversation, you and I can talk about some other stuff that's really deep, too, that goes all the way back to your Colorado days.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You got to be well-diverse in life, man. That's what it's about. It's about knowing who people are and knowing what their strengths are. That's what we try to bring forward. You guys do a great thing, man. Thank you guys so much for having me on, for inviting me. Early or not, it does not make a difference to me. I'm happy to talk to people who love what we do. And more importantly, I don't know that people know this about you all, but this isn't what you do for a living. You guys are car guys. This is what you sell cars. You're in your dealerships. Your energy, the way you treat your employees from a distance, gentlemen, is something to be admired. It is something people should be watching. You seem like fun is the number one thing at your dealerships. And I cannot thank you enough for bringing people forward. So as much as people should be reaching out to me, they should be reaching out to you all to learn about culture and how dealerships should run, because it looks like a damn fun place to work.
And I appreciate that. That's so funny, because one thing that we say about the Car Guy Coffee podcast, or even the cafe, is that if there's anything, because we all can go out and promise dealers this, we can all promise that we're going to teach you this, but one thing we will do that's above other people's, we will have fun. We're going to have a lot of fun when we do it, whether it's at work, on my podcast, in person. I love to have fun. I love to bring energy with everything I do. That's why I'm so glad to have you here today. I had a lot of fun with you this morning, man. Yes. Seriously, I feel like I've just getting to know you more is a big deal to me, because I've been following you for a long time. So I'm kind of fangirling over here. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you talk about clothing. I mean, I almost feel like I was selling clothing right now.
I get really weirded out by that whole thing. I'm super not comfortable with it. I don't mean that to you guys any negative. I mean, it happens to me when I went to shows. People would just stop me. They'd say, oh, you're the guy from LinkedIn, or you're the guy because the logo's everywhere. You're the guy. Can I talk to you? And it would just – I would be weirded out. It would just be walking down the street at a show, outside of the show, trying to just get a breath of fresh air, and people would stop you. And it's still weird to me. I'm glad it happens. I'm happy to have it. But it's still odd, because as I've gotten older, I've become more humble, which is super weird, because the 20-year-old self of me looking at my 40-year-old self's like, what does that turn into? The reality is I turned into exactly who I'm supposed to be. Someone's far quieter. People don't believe it, but I mean, this is the quiet version of Sean. The version at 20, you all wouldn't have probably had on your show.
We didn't know to have a show, but we probably definitely would have been jamming. But the one thing that time does is it helps to bring maturity to different aspects of our life. It helps us to see what's really of value. And we're so thankful for how you well-rounded the entire scope of what a great car guy or a great marketer or a great person that is doing business and trying to help other people out are doing. My man, I am so excited that we are right here inside of the cafe, Bruin Solutions, doing what it is that we do best for an entire industry. We say cheers to you, my friend. So thankful that you are on the show, that you are helping to bring a light out there for people that are wanting to improve themselves. Car guys, car gals, if you have any ability at all to hit search Sean Welsh. Watch his show.
Check him out.
Hear what it is LinkedIn. That he's doing. There's so many things that are going on, especially you dealers that are right now trying to ride this wave of understanding how you have to adjust to the digital market, whether you hire people, whether you hire agencies, whether you hire Sean, whether you reach out to somebody that has the solution that you don't have. It's okay. But what's important is that you find a solutionary that wants to help you achieve your goal and is not scared to challenge you in achieving it. So I highly encourage you. Let's do what it is that we do. Solutions. Car guys, car gals, I am Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
And I'm Fred Lenarts, the subprime hero.
And we have been Bruin Solutions on the Car Guy Coffee Podcast with Sean Welsh. So excited, brother. Thank you so much
for being here this morning. Folks, this was early fun.
yet he didn't even look like he just woke up. The dude crushed it today.
Thank you so much for coming and bringing that knowledge and bringing that energy with us, man. I look forward to it. My day's going to go great. We got to get ready.
Yeah,
We got to get to work and sell some cars like candy bars and have some fun.
That's right.
We're going to do it better. We're going to do this business better.